First of all, understand that overthinking in itself is not wrong. Think about it. The inventions we see in our lives today, like cameras, rockets, or electricity, are all thanks to those people who thought deeply about everything. Just imagine how much analysis must have gone into making these things, how many times every possible situation was thought about in the mind. Isn't that amazing? It shows the power of our mind. When you think from every angle, even things that seem impossible become reality. So, calling overthinking wrong is not right. If you use it in the right way, it can be very beneficial for you. It helps you understand every situation, see every possibility, and then make the right decisions. If used in the right direction, overthinking is beneficial, if it is focused. But if thoughts are left uncontrolled, this same power creates restlessness, stress, and anxiety, often leaving you feeling overwhelmed, with a racing heart, and a mind that won't quiet down, no matter how hard you try. Just like everything in nature, it all depends on how you use it. Let's take a simple example. Fire. Fire in itself is pure energy. If you use it in the right way, it cooks food, gives warmth in the cold, and brings light in the darkness. But if you misuse it, it can burn everything. So, it's in our hands how we see and use it. In this universe, everything has its own special place, and thoughts are no different. They also have a special role in our life. But before placing these thoughts in their right place, it's important for you to understand what a thought really is. If you understand this, managing your thoughts and calming your stress and anxiety will become easy for you, allowing you to break free from the constant cycle of worry that drains your energy and disrupts your peace. And if you don't understand it, you might get into a bit of trouble. So, come on. Today, let's understand thought and thinking in depth. See, your brain is a wonderful result of evolution. It is such a miracle that gives you the power to think, understand, and experience this universe. It is the center of all mental processes, whether it's your emotions, making decisions, storing old memories, or recalling them. Whatever you think or feel, behind it all, your brain is working. Do you know that, on a biological, genetic, and chemical level, humans are a lot like animals? For example, we share about 85 to 95% of our genes with rats, and our nervous systems work in similar ways. That's why scientists often test new medicines or ideas on rats first, to check if they're safe and effective, before trying them on people. If you have a pet, whether it's a cute dog or cat, you must have seen how excited they get when they see you. They start jumping, wagging their tail, and happiness is clear in their eyes. Why does this happen? Because they also feel emotions like us. And not just happiness. When something sad happens, like a lion or tiger taking away their child, that mother animal also feels the same sorrow, the same sense of loss that we humans feel. The same pain shows in her eyes, the same emptiness that a human feels when losing someone close. This clearly shows that animals also experience feelings and emotions deeply, like us. So the point is, on the biological and chemical level, there is not much difference between the animal brain and the human brain. Human and animal brains share approximately 80 to 90% biological and chemical foundations. So what is that basic difference between the human mind and the animal mind then? This small difference separates the human mind from the animal mind. And because of this difference, today humans are ruling the entire earth, advancing in every field. So, what is that difference? The biggest difference between the human mind and the animal mind is language. Yes, language is the thing that separates humans' brains from animals' brains. Animals also have their own kind of language. For example, when a tiger comes near water, other animals make different kinds of noises to alert each other, like a warning message. You can call it a kind of sign language, but it's at a very basic and rudimentary level. When humans were evolving, we also started our communication with sign language, just like animals do. If you look at ancient cave paintings, you will clearly see that at that time, we used symbols and images to say things. Like, a hunter drew a picture of an animal on the cave wall to tell others what he saw. But as we evolved, these signs also evolved. And in this journey of evolution, the level language has reached today is nothing short of a miracle. Today, language is everywhere. In our technology, in AI, in our daily life. Whether you are typing a message on your phone or asking Siri something, language is the bridge that connects us. But what is the real purpose of language? The purpose of language is communication, to differentiate things, categorize them, and most importantly, understand the world around us. Just as we use language to communicate with the outside world and make sense of everything around us, in the same way, you engage in an ongoing conversation within yourself. This internal dialogue is often referred to as self-talk or mental chattering. For example, you are trying to sit for meditation, and while doing meditation, you are speaking within, "Okay, just focus on your breathing, in and out, in and out. Why am I even doing this? Is meditation really going to help me? I have so many things to do today. The laundry is piling up, and I still need to finish that project for work. Ugh, that project. Why did I take it on in the first place? I'm not even sure I'm doing it right. Remember when I made that mistake last month? My boss was so disappointed. What if I mess up again? Why am I always so worried about everything? I wish I could just be more confident. Speaking of confidence, that presentation next week, I'm already nervous about it. I wonder if I'll ever get promoted. I've been working so hard, but it feels like I'm going nowhere. What if I'm just not good enough? Maybe I should look for a different job. But what would I do? I don't even know what I really want anymore. This is so frustrating. Why can't I just focus? My mind is all over the place. Let's take another example. You plan your day by speaking within yourself. Okay, drop the kids off at school by 8 o'clock, then head to the gym. Back home by 10 to start work. Emails first, then that report. Lunch around 1, maybe a quick salad. Pick up groceries on the way to the office. Don't forget to call mom in the afternoon. Pick up the kids at 4:30, then dinner prep. And finally, some quiet time with a good book before bed. This is your day-to-day experience where you are constantly speaking within yourself. This continuous speaking or internal chattering is always going on inside. Your internal self-talk is going on every moment, whether you are meditating, planning, or doing something else. From these examples, we need to understand a deep thing. Thought is nothing but what you speak inside yourself. And this continuous speaking within yourself is thinking. Let's understand it with a small experiment. Sit in a quiet place where no one is around, maybe in your room, or a quiet spot in the garden. You can close your eyes if you want. What you have to do is, for the next 1 minute, don't talk to yourself at all. That means don't speak anything inside yourself, just stay quiet and observe what is happening in your mind. Do this experiment right now, for the next 1 minute. Come on, start. If you did this experiment, you must have noticed something very interesting. As soon as you stopped speaking inside, you must have felt that the flow of your thinking stopped immediately. Yes, some thoughts must have come in between, but no chain of thoughts would have formed. The moment you stopped speaking inside, your thinking stopped. This directly means, when you don't speak anything inside, there are no thoughts. This is a deep revelation, which tells us that the basis of thinking is nothing else but what you speak inside yourself. That means thoughts are nothing but what you speak inside yourself. When you speak inside, you use language, the language you know. But what is language really? Language is a collection of words. And what are these words? Words are just names. The names we have given to different forms, things, situations, experiences, and emotions, so that we can understand them, differentiate them, and communicate with each other. So, in the end, thoughts are nothing but language. And what is language? Language is nothing but words that describe someone or something. But how did we learn these words? In school and in childhood, we learned words through our five senses, which got stored in our brain. For example, if I say A, immediately, the figure of A comes to mind. If I say B, the figure of B comes to mind. Both have different sounds and symbols, which are settled in your mind. Then more words got attached to them, like apple, and an image got attached to apple. This association is knowledge. So, when I say apple, immediately the image of apple comes to your mind. If I say beautiful girl, an image of a beautiful girl comes to your mind. So thoughts mean nothing but words that are connected to different forms, figures, things, or images. So if I say rose, what comes to your mind? Probably a beautiful red flower with soft petals. Now, if I say rain, what do you see? Dripping water drops, or maybe a fun childhood memory of jumping in puddles. Think about mountain. What picture forms? Tall green hills, fresh cool air, or a hike with friends where you reach the top and feel on top of the world. And if I say moon, what do you imagine? A quiet night sky with soft silver light that makes everything feel calm and magical. Isn't it amazing? Just words, and your mind takes you to a whole new world with images, forms, and feelings. So, what are thoughts? Thoughts are nothing but words that are related to something or someone, or connected to some images, forms, or experiences. When you speak inside yourself, images or forms appear. Then, something related to those forms or images comes from your memory, and you talk inside again about what's emerging. Finally, feelings, emotions, and sensations get triggered. This is the cycle of thought, formed by just talking inside. But there is one very interesting thing, and that is that the words you have been taught from childhood, or the words you use in daily life, are not reality. They are just pointers to things, but they are not the real things themselves. For example, Suppose you are very thirsty. You keep saying, water, water, water. But will just saying this word quench your thirst? No. Right? You will have to actually take a glass of water. Drink it. Only then will your thirst be quenched. This clearly shows that words are just tools. They help us understand and communicate, but they are not reality. They just point towards that reality. If you deeply understand that words are not reality, we use words just to communicate, to understand things, to differentiate them, and to truly know our world. And if you fully understand this right now, then your overthinking problem can end right here, along with the stress and anxiety that often accompany it, freeing you to experience life more fully without the constant mental weight. So, words are not the reality. We use words just to communicate, to differentiate the world around us. So think about it. If you didn't know any language or words, would there be thoughts? No. Right? Let's understand it with an example. Suppose you are watching a Korean movie without subtitles. If you don't understand even one word of that language, will there be thoughts then? Yes, thoughts will be there. But how? While watching the movie, you will start speaking inside in English. You will say to yourself, hey, what are these people doing? Maybe he is angry with her. Oh, this looks like some celebration. You will try to understand the movie, that is, what is happening on the screen. You will try to understand it in English by speaking inside yourself. So, in the end, thought is nothing but what you speak inside yourself. And this speaking always happens in the language you know. If you don't know another language, then there won't be thoughts there. Because the language you know is the boundary of your mind. So the language you know is the boundary of your mind. If you hear a word outside of it, there will be no thoughts. Let's understand it more deeply with a small example. Listen to this word very carefully. Wakadakapu. Listen again. Wakadakapu. Now tell me, did any thought come to your mind as soon as you heard this word? Did any image form in your mind? No, right? And why? Because this word is not connected to any form, anything, or any image. So, what did we understand from here? If there is a word, but that word is not connected to any form or thing, then there will be no thoughts. If it is connected to forms, but that word is not known to you, then there will be no thoughts either. Similarly, if there is a form or thing in front of you, but no word is connected to it, then also there will be no thoughts. For example, suppose you are in the jungle, and there you see a creature that you have never seen before, neither heard its name nor any identification. So will any thoughts form in your mind at that moment? Probably not. So, thoughts are nothing but the language we speak inside. And for this speaking, we use words. These words are related to something or someone. The cycle of thinking starts when we start speaking inside. Your brain is a kind of hardware, and memory is like software. But don't think of memory as something magical. It is just a physical process formed by your experiences. Those experiences are stored in your brain with language. So, thoughts and memory both reside in your brain. The brain is the hub of all mental processes, the center of every thought and every feeling. When you speak language inside yourself, related pictures, forms, and experiences automatically emerge in your mind. For example, when you say, my mother's smile to yourself, an image of her warm, joyful laugh lights up in your mind, cherished memories of those tender moments come flooding back, filling you with warmth. So, what we speak inside ourselves is thoughts. So, can you remember your past without speaking inside? Can the image of apple come to your mind without saying the word apple in your mind? Can you imagine your future without speaking inside? Can you try to think about what is happening in the present without speaking inside? No. Right. Think about these questions, and you will find that speaking inside is thoughts. So if continuous thinking is going on in your mind, it means you are continuously speaking inside nonstop. And because of this internal talking, feelings, emotions, and sensations get triggered inside you. Whether it's a wave of happiness, fear, worry, or an old memory. And these are the very sensations that we call stress and anxiety. Many people often think that if only their memories could be erased, those sad memories, those mistakes that bother them again and again. But just think, without memory, could you say anything? No, right? Without memory, every experience of your life, every learning, everything would become empty. Because of memory, you know that if poison is written somewhere, it means that thing is harmful. It is your memory that keeps you safe. So memory is very important because it is made from your personal experiences, but not every experience. Only those experiences that you identified with automatically got stored in your brain with language and words. If there was no memory, there would be no difference between humans and animals. Our memory is what makes us human, gives us the power to think, learn, and understand. So, memory is very necessary. So, friends, what have we understood so far? Let's sum it up. Thoughts are nothing but the language you speak inside yourself. And what is language? It's just words. But what are these words? They are simply names we have given to things, forms, images, people, emotions, and experiences. So we can understand them, differentiate them, and communicate with each other. When I say school, your classroom, fun with friends, or perhaps those teachers come to your mind. So, thoughts are the language you continuously speak inside yourself. So the real purpose of language is to communicate and understand our world. But the question is, how are you using this language? When something wrong happens, like a breakup, a failure, or your boss's taunt in the office, then you use the same language to keep speaking inside about what happened again and again. You keep saying to yourself, "Why did I do that? I wish I hadn't said that. What will happen to me now?" This repeated speaking is overthinking, which fuels ongoing stress and anxiety. But why are you using language like this? Because you don't even know what thought and thinking is. So hold this thing close to your heart. Thoughts are just language, which you speak inside. So see thoughts as a tool that is super important in life, for learning new skills, planning the future, learning from past mistakes, and understanding deeper spiritual things. For instance, if you ever hurt someone's heart by mistake, or if some mistake happened in the past, then use thoughts to learn something, like, how can I do better next time? What did I learn from this mistake so that I don't repeat the same mistake in the future? Not that you keep speaking the same old mistake inside yourself again and again, and keep giving yourself mental torture. Use thoughts to secure your future, not let thoughts dominate you. This is the right use of thoughts. When you deeply understand that thoughts are just language, a tool we use to talk to each other, understand things, express our feelings and emotions, learn from mistakes, and plan the future, then you will place thoughts in their proper place. From that understanding, you will be able to manage your thoughts effectively, reducing the stress and anxiety that once seemed unavoidable, and reclaiming a sense of calm in your daily life. So, thank you for listening. See you in the next session.